Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Before we start today's show, you guys should know we do an exclusive episode just for subscribers of the Gas Digital Network. That's right, our Friday episode is exclusively for subscribers, so not only do you get over 1,000 episodes that are ad-free, uncensored, and not available anywhere else in the world, but you also get a bonus episode of the Real Ass Podcast every single week.
If you want to try out the network, use the promo code RAP, R-A-P, today. Get a 7-day free trial. If you like it, keep it and get access to the archives, uncensored episodes, ad-free, and again, that bonus episode once a week.
Plus extra member benefits like access to the Racist Live Chat and discounts on tickets to live events. The brand new Gas Digital Network. So go to gasdigital.com or download the apps for both Apple and Android.
I went to the stand on Saturday night, and I lost all of yesterday because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like people were probably there till 8 a.m.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine doing like fucking blow.
People didn't show up until
anymore.
3 o'clock.
Really? Just the party?
It didn't start until like 3:15.
Oh, was it? That was an after party?
Yeah.
It was at the stand.
I was at the stand.
Oh.
Yeah. It didn't start until 3:15.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah.
3:15? God damn.
Fuck that. No, literally, I just wouldn't do it. I went to one SNL party in my entire life. Mm. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
If you got a party, I'm not going. It's got to be like a barbecue, a small get-together.
Yeah, that's the best
of
type of shit. Cookout,
15 people,
barbecues.
20 people. Mm-hmm. That's
they had those
it.
For In Living Color.
In Living Color cookout?
Yeah. Yeah,
fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Fuckers, it's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattlesnake, Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Jones Jet of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny, he's a psycho, he's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Hey, yo, God. This is crazy.
What up, doggies? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, live here on a Monday morning. Gas Digital Studios, East Village, New York City. Hanging out with the international superstar, Zach D'Amico.
Feeling good on a Monday, baby.
Zach, have you lost weight?
I'm trying.
You look
good.
Yeah, I'm down a shirt size.
Wow.
Nice. That's a lot.
Zach D'Amico, I look wider than you right now. What's happening right now?
It's also because I'm sitting.
Never mind. You're wider than me again.
Yeah. I just conceal it well.
Yeah, Zach, I love you. I'm glad we're doing our show today. We are down one guest as of right now. That's okay.
He'll be here soon.
It happens. Sometimes it happens. I'm not going to freak out. I'll put on my fucking glasses.
That's part of the exchange. If people want the show on time,
If you want the show on time, fuck faces, guess what? Sometimes our black guests are going to be late. It's a fact. What do you want me to say?
Hey.
All facts. We do have our white guest here already, though, from the boys cast. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Polishchuk is back on
white.
The show. Oh, you're not white?
Well, I'm Jewish.
Oh, you're Jewish.
That's the big debate, right?
Is that a debate?
Ask the RLC.
Yeah. I don't want to fucking sit here and...
But it's kind of like hot potato. It's not that each side wants you. It's each side he's passing you back and forth.
Well, it depends who you ask.
Yeah.
Everybody says that the Jews just do whatever is most benefit. They go, oh, yeah, you're white when it works for you.
I don't want to...
The hot locker.
I don't want to turn my back on my audience.
Yeah.
But Jewish people are white. I know that it's upsetting some people right now. It's upsetting
some people right now. This is a real, like, because I joke about this a lot, and it's a real point of contention for people.
I think, like, a Danny is white, but, like, a don't mess with the Zohan type Jew. But
no, Israelis, like, once you get to, is like, you know.
They might as well be
Israelis,
fucking Arab.
Yeah. They're definitely closer to that.
They're closer. I mean, I would say Greek.
Yeah.
Would you call Greek white?
Nigga, we got eyes. White is white. I don't care where you're from.
Yeah.
You're white.
It doesn't even have anything to do with where I'm from, though, because I'm from Canada.
Yeah, dude. White. The white, the land of the white man.
Yeah.
If you have white skin, you are white. If you have lightly brown skin, you are Latino. If you have black skin, you are black.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it.
I've been saying the same thing.
That's it.
It's how Italians used to be not white.
And then Indian people have their own thing and Asian people have their own thing.
Yeah,
and that's
fine. I like the Mike DiStefano breakdown. He's black, white, and Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
if you're Chinese, fucking, you're Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican, yeah. Patrice said something like that as well. It was like you gotta. He was like Puerto Ricans chose black, but he was like that's because they just want our oppression.
Yeah.
We have a great show planned today. I'm very excited about today's show. We're waiting on Naeem Ali right now.
Now, he said he's parking, but could he still be in Philly?
Maybe. That's a lie that I would say. I tell people all the time, I say straight up, I lie to them, and I say, I've left already.
Of
I'm
course.
Almost there, 10 minutes away. Sometimes I haven't even, I'm still in my bed. It's crazy.
I know.
We're waiting on Naeem. We have a great show planned today. Obviously going to talk about Shane Gillis on SNL. We have a lot more to talk about. Let's just get our plugs out of the way right now. Let's fucking party, baby boys. Danny, what you plugging on?
You can catch me live this weekend at the Phoenix House of Comedy in Scottsdale, even though it's Phoenix or whatever. And I got a bunch of dates coming up: Saratoga Springs, Plano, Texas, Fairfield, Connecticut. Sick. I don't know, Minneapolis.
Killing it.
All over. Go to DannyComedy.com. And just follow me, Danny Jokes, everywhere else.
Nice. Zach Amico.
All local stuff. I'm going to be doing some special guest spots on Lewis's next shows in the Vogel in Philly.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be pretty fucking sick, guys. Live dates coming up this weekend. I'm in Tampa. Tickets going well, boys. Don't got a low ticket warning yet, but, you know, we'll see. Low ticket warning coming in, I feel like, for this weekend in Tampa. Grab those tickets. Teehee's Comedy Club, Des Moines, Iowa. Never been there. That's going to be next weekend, March 8th and 9th. Comedy Connection, Providence, Rhode Island. Scott Chaplin on these. I should say Tim Butterly with me in Tampa. You should come out to those. Scott Chaplin with me March 14th through 16th, Providence, Rhode Island. Then I got March 22nd, the Vogel in Red Bank, New Jersey. Scott Chaplin, Zach Amico, a bunch of other special guests as well. Then I'm going to be in Pottstown, PA on the 23rd. And then Philadelphia for my birthday weekend, March 28th through 30th. This is also Easter weekend. We're going to be in Philadelphia, myself, Zach Amico, Tim Butterly, a bunch of other great Philly comics, St. Louis, Denver, American Comedy Company, Seattle, San Diego, all that coming up. LewisofSkanks.com. Adding a bunch more dates. Just waiting on some links right now. Bunch more dates. Obviously, Seattle is canceled. That's okay, though. That's okay.
Yeah, it's better than showing up there and just getting just side eye from every person who works there.
Somebody throwing a brick at us.
It's so crazy because people, I see it all the time. People are like, there's no good comedy in Seattle.
Yeah.
Because I guess you have to go, everybody goes to Tacoma.
You
got
to go to Tacoma. Yeah. But also, subscribe to Gas Digital if you guys are not yet subscribed. If you guys are watching live, you are subscribed. But if you guys are watching this on YouTube or iTunes or anywhere else, you should know that this show is available uncensored and ad free. And over 1,000 episodes that are not available anywhere else, the entire on demand library. You can go back and listen to the archives. And you get a bonus episode every single week just by subscribing. Use that promo code RAP. Get a 7-day free trial. Get instant access to the on-demand library for all the shows here on the network, including Legion of Skanks and fucking Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, The Thing Is, Ding, all these great shows. All right. That's it. I saw the show Love is Blind. I think Shannon probably watches it. I didn't watch the show. My girlfriend wanted to watch it last night, and I was like, I'm not. No, my first reaction was like, yes, because we finished Love on the Spectrum.
She sprayed Clorox in her eyes.
We finished Love on the Spectrum, and I loved it. It was fucking great. Great show. And I was like, you know what? Another show about people with disabilities. Let's fucking party, dude. Blind people falling in love with each other. What a great concept for a show.
Yeah.
Guess what?
No.
That's not the fucking show.
Nope. No.
That's not even the goddamn show. What a better show would Love is Blind be if it was about a bunch of fucking goofy-eyed assholes bumping into walls, trying to navigate their way through a fucking mini golf course or like... what a fun fucking show. Is there not a blind dating show where all the contestants are blind?
Maybe the pace is too slow for it. I don't know.
No, dude. This is great.
They should just fold them in with the fucking retards on the other one.
Well, that's what happened with Love on the Spectrum.
Love on the Spectrum is crazy because you're like, some of these people are like, you're just the same as an autistic person, huh?
Yeah. Well, this is what you realize. Once you watch Love on the Spectrum, you realize how many people you know that are autistic. Because to be honest with you, this is what I'll say. This is what I'll say about Love on the Spectrum. Because yes, at first we all press play. Every person that watched it initially pressed play to make fun of retarded people. Mm-hmm. There's not a single person who said, you know what? Let's fucking learn something today. Let's learn about fucking autistic love. No. We all said, let's make fun of retards kissing. That was going to be the whole plan. And it was great. For the first couple episodes, that's what we did. But you know what happened at the end of this? We learned acceptance.
Yeah.
We learned acceptance. I learned that Natalie is actually autistic. She's not even a lesbian. She's not non-binary. She's autistic. She doesn't know what the fuck she is.
I could be all of those things.
Yeah. There's a big overlap non-binary and all that stuff.
Yeah, because they don't even know. They don't know what they're
big correlation there.
Sensory overload. They're like, whoa, I don't even fucking know what's happening right now. Pussy, dick, whatever, right? Is that what happened with you, Natalie? Is you were fucking, the lights were too bright, you were at a carnival, you're like, I need to eat pussy. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, I have a theory that like women don't really get diagnosed with autism because they're so, it's so hard to tell sometimes because if they just like throw on some makeup and look good, then you're like, well, I don't know.
It's just a, you know, a hot, because I think my girlfriend's autistic.
Me too.
She is a hot chick, so what you realize at first, you're like, oh, she's just a bitch. She's a quiet bitch.
Yeah.
Right, she's looking down at people. She won't make eye contact with people. It's like, no, she's screaming inside. Right,
exactly,
now.
She's autism.
I gave her a coloring book and Guitar Hero, and I just watched her fucking be herself.
Yeah.
For an afternoon, I was like, okay, this girl, I get it now.
It's just autism.
Yeah, maybe just autism, but it doesn't affect hot girls the same way. Natalie, are you actually autistic?
No, I don't think so, but my brother is, so maybe it's like.
Is it
genetic.
Offensive when we start saying the word artard or when we're talking about autism?
I mean, in general, yes, but I'm not offended.
You're
by
not
it.
Offended. Yeah. But if he were here, he would be offended.
I don't think he would give a shit at
is
all.
Is he severely autistic? Like crazy autistic? Because the spectrum is fucking bonkers.
He would be a little more, probably a little too severe to be on Love on the Spectrum and have it be like a good episode.
Oh, he's more severe than Love on the Spectrum people?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Some of these people are borderline eating shoes.
Yeah.
It's he's not
like
quite
there was
eating
like the
shoes.
One girl, I don't know, I haven't seen the new season, but there's one season where like the girl, she like has like Down syndrome, and then you're like, seems like different thing.
So Love on the Spectrum, they are all autistic, but sometimes they're so far autistic, like my boy Sabode. Pull up Sabode. Let me say this, pardon the expression, Sabode's my nigga.
Yeah.
Okay, Sabode is an Indian guy, he's autistic, but he's my
fat. Yeah, I know, the fat guy?
Fat
he was in
guy.
The first season, I think.
Did he? I don't know if he made it to the second season. You're right, they all blend together at this point.
Yeah.
But Sabode, they set him up with Kate, who was genuinely just a Down syndrome person.
Yeah, this guy, I love this guy.
There we go, there's Sabode. We fucking love Sabode, dude.
Yeah.
He's great. He'd never been on a date, he never kissed a girl, he was so excited.
They're all incredibly likable people.
And you realize that, you know, for an Indian person, he's not even that unattractive. Like,
no.
He's pretty.
Yeah, they're just that autistic.
For an Indian person, he's about on par with most Indian people in terms of attractiveness that you run into, right? Check this out, though, right? Sabode, they set him up with Kate in the first season, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And he's like, okay, you're very pretty. She's like, Sabode, thank you very much. And they just have this little retard love, and you're like, this is fucking sweet. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
Do you want to see part of it?
Yeah, please, pull it up for a second.
Rachel, I got a question to ask you.
Oh, it's Rachel. Sorry, not Kate.
Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Wow.
Of course.
Of course.
I know what she says. I know her response because it touched me. She said, well, of course. Of course I want to be your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, pull up Sabode's social media now.
Natalie. Oh, I hope he's just on a boat with bitches.
Have you been following Sabode?
I know nothing about Sabode.
So here's what happens.
I see the blonde guy a lot.
Here's what happens now with these people. They become fucking Netflix stars. And now they have autistic groupies that go and take advantage. So Sabode's new girlfriend, I think her name is Autism, like Supergirl or something.
Sure.
Dude, she's a really fucking actually cute chick who is so trying to get on the next season of Love on the Spectrum, it's bonkers.
Yeah.
Can you pull it up? Did you find Sabode's social media?
There you go. Only 80K. I thought it'd be higher than that.
Oh, that's not. Oh, that's his.
That's his family.
Oh, let me see. Is that. When's the last time he posted? Pull up Autism Supergirl. Because
Six
I guess.
Days ago, he was last on.
Days ago? Yeah, so he's not even posting about this.
My thing is, like,
it's literally him in the background, her being like, "Hey, what's about?" And him just being in the background, like, just fucking chewing on his knuckles.
Yeah. Like, I don't under, because I know there's like a legality issue. Like, that girl, Rachel, because there is like a legal, once you hit a certain IQ threshold, like, it's illegal.
I always wondered that. Is it?
Yes, 100%.
Is it illegal if you're so, yeah, look at this bitch. Yes, Sabode, you king.
Oh, there he goes.
You king, Sabode. Hell yeah, dude. Let's see. Autism Supergirl.
Dude, he's motor pneumonia.
And this was 4 days ago.
Oh my gosh, she's been admitted to the hospital. Two bloodstream infections and complications with fitting my new feeding tube. Oh, she's got something weird happening?
That looks like pneumonia. He's in the hospital.
Bronchitis and pneumonia. I think he's just, that's how he likes to get cozy while she's waiting for her.
Oh, is he just in a bassinet while she's
in
the hospital?
Chilling. She's the one in the hospital.
Debilitating conditions, but I never feel disabled. I strive to be my best in everything I do. More power to you. The best girlfriend ever. Good job. I actually, as I'm watching her in the hospital, she's dumpier than I thought.
Yeah.
She cleans up nicely with those fucking things. But
she knows how to use the angles with the photos.
She's pretty hot for Sabode. Sabode needs to be fucking.
I like Sabode.
Go back to her Instagram. Yeah, so she's like a.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's cute there, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Sabode, at one point, when they were talking about who he wants to date, he goes, he's like, what type of girl do you want to date? And he goes, not Indian. That was the best. I was like, this guy fucking rules.
It's just so funny because usually autistic people are like not a retarded person.
Yeah.
And he's like, just can't be away from these Indians.
All right. Doggy. I shit you not, 6 months away from looking like Sabode. All it takes to be not shave my head and just stop working out completely.
Yeah.
I can be Sabode. By this Halloween, if I wanted to be a perfect Sabode for Halloween, I can morph into him.
Yeah.
Like fucking Christian Bale. I'll turn my body into Sabode. You think I'm chitting you?
You should do it. Let's
go. I mean, you realize the irony of you saying everyone around you is autistic, though.
You think I'm autistic?
Lewis, have you ever, every time I watch a movie with you, you rock the entire time back and forth.
I do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this an autistic quality?
Oh, yeah.
I would do this in elementary school, and everyone would make fun of me.
Yeah. My Uncle Rob, who we've later discovered is autistic, his nickname was Rocky.
Oh,
because he rocked back and forth.
This was what I would do very quick. Can you look that up, Natalie? What is this? Rocking back and
it's
forth?
Just like a comforting.
I think it's ADHD,
yeah.
But those are kind of like... They have a common traits at this point.
I have to stop myself. Anytime I'm sitting on my couch at home, I have to stop myself like a fucking retard from bobbing back and forth. I consciously do it. And do I not always do it?
You don't always do it.
I thought you weren't aware of this.
No, you go...
It's called stimming.
Stimming?
Yeah.
I'm fucking jerking my fucking spine off at all times.
Yeah.
Rocking may be a way to stimulate balance system. Hand flapping may provide visual simulation. My son still flaps a little bit.
Yeah.
When he was a little kid, he would fuck. He would get really. Anytime we get excited.
Anytime
we get excited, he'd be like, ah. And now if he's really lit on something, he'll fucking give a good flap.
Yeah. Or there's what I refer to as the Mike Lawrence clap. Where they bag the bones of their hands together.
If to this day, if my son gets really excited, this time I know this, like, we'll just be watching something, and once in a while he'll go like that, I'm like, oh, you're fucking lit. He didn't gotta say anything. If it's a girl if a girl he likes comes like into the room, sometimes he'll go like that.
Oh,
he'll
really?
Just do a little like that, and you think he's doing like a cool one of these things. Remember that?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
No, I cannot.
But fucking yeah. Yeah, we were, because when he was a little kid, we were like, because he would squeeze his hands really hard, and we were concerned because we read that was a sign of autism, and we took him to the doctor, and he's perfect.
I mean, you can have a little bit. I think a little bit's good.
You think
a little
good?
Bit of autism is good. It's just when you get too much, then it starts getting some negative.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, just the fucking, it would be hard, dude. If my kid, and they're like, they're sweet, but if my kid had autism like some of these kids, like I would drown.
Like, you see Zuck when he was in the ring, how he's doing that?
Yeah, so you think that was all autism?
Oh my god, he's just like,
it's nervous energy. Yeah, I honestly, it's one of the reasons why I don't want to ever have kids again, because my son, you know, like you go through that. You're like, oh shit, is my fucking son autistic? Like you take him to the doctor, you're like, please. And you sit there, you're like, they're gonna come back and they're gonna tell you. And it's these developmental years when they're like 2 or 3, you don't really know yet, right? Yeah. And then, you know, just that anxiety, just even like fucking just, you know, going and fucking getting all the regular testing done. Yeah. All that is fucking super.
It's a crapshoot then. Now your ball's got 10 years of miles on them. Who yeah. knows what's
No, I think
left.
My balls are fine. I think my cum is fucking
No, dude,
right.
you can dude, always tell when somebody's
man,
old cum.
De Niro and Pacino both had kids recently.
Yeah.
You can just...
You can always tell when somebody's old cum.
Yeah, but I think it's more the woman, right?
Yeah, I think it's the woman. It's all the Larry eggs. King was literally
yeah,
cranking
right.
him out until
we're,
the day
we're
died.
Designed...
Right. It's old mom.
Yeah,
old mom is when...
We're,
yeah, yeah,
we're
sure.
designed to fucking keep coming.
Yeah.
And we keep fucking coming, dude.
Yeah.
It's men and women.
Shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
shut
for
the
sure,
fuck up,
you,
Natalie. Every time we're trying
good.
To just be dudes, here's Natalie. Oh, it's men and women.
I Googled it.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, obviously there's some degradation, but I don't think it's the same.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick moment and thank Send It Sups for supporting today's show. We love Send It Sups. They have incredible supplements, everything that you need to get your body and mind working as hard as possible. But I really want to talk about their dippable pre-workout because shaker cups suck.
Founded from a firebase in Syria, Send It contains 8 pouches per tin, patriotically packed with 300 milligrams of caffeine per pouch. And the best part? No water, no bathroom runs, no face melting jitters. These supplements are made right here in the US of A using only the finest all-American ingredients. You can trust what you're putting in your body. And although there's a soldier on the logo, Send It is for anyone that uses caffeine to accomplish their goals.
Just go to senditsups.com. That's S-E-N-D-I-T, sups, S-U-P-P-S.com. And when you check out, use the promo code REAL, R-E-A-L, and you're going to get a special discount at checkout. Once again, that's senditsups.com, promo code REAL. All right, where were we? We're waiting on our guest. By the way, our guest showed up, and I shit you not, 7 minutes ago.
Yeah.
7 minutes ago that he came in, he took his time, went to the bathroom, he came in.
He just came in from a 2-hour car ride.
He
got to go to the bathroom,
he
buddy.
Even just now, just like he got a cup of water, and he was very nonchalantly right. asked Natalie, he was like, hey, we'll see you tomorrow. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
We're
sorry for my lateness.
You're fine, dude. Don't worry.
I apologize.
It's all good, man.
I traveled a far away.
From a far off land.
The far land of Philadelphia.
What's up, kid?
Hello, I'm Naeem.
Oh, shit, you guys don't know each other.
No,
were you
no.
not at Shane's SNL?
No, I wasn't there.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were in town already.
Mm-mm, no.
Well, you're forgiven then.
Yeah, it's all good.
No,
bro.
You're forgiven.
I wanted to go, but you know, he got a more famous people. He got to,
of course,
bring with him places.
What are you
now.
Gonna do? What are you gonna do? He wasn't. He wasn't texting me back all week, and I was like, "Is he mad at me?" I was like, "What did I do to Shane now?"
Yeah,
I'm nice things. Like, dude, how's the shit going, right? And then nothing. I was like, all right, dude. And then the first time, you're like, he's busy. Mm-hmm. And then he told me he was gonna do Skanks tonight, so I texted him on like Thursday. I was like, hey man, I know you're super busy. I was like, just want to confirm we're doing Skanks. Nothing. So then you start feeling like a bitch. You're like, dude, if I text him again,
can't text again, yo.
If I text him again, I'm gonna fucking kill him if he doesn't get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, night of it, I was like, hey dude, good luck tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Then I was like, dude, I'm fucking done. And I was like, all right, me and Shane are no longer friends. This is my mentality.
Yeah.
I was like, he's mad about something, but fuck him for him not being a man to fucking say something about that. Fuck you, Shane. How about you fucking Hollywood? Literally, this the emotions that I go through. If somebody doesn't text me back, then Sunday morning I get a text from him. He was like, hey, dude, I turned my phone off for the week. It was just too much. He was like, I just wanted to be distracted. He was like, I'll be there on Monday. I was like, oh, yeah, all right, cool. But dude, where I go to in my head, same thing with Rogan. Anytime Rogan doesn't text me back, like, I will spiral.
Yeah.
I've written out texts to him being like, you know what, dude? Good. I'm glad you don't fucking text me back, motherfucker. Because now you're one of my enemies.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's fucking party.
No, that's why I only send one text. I'll send one. If I don't get anything back, I'll hear from you when I hear from you.
That's right. But that's also a wrong way to be.
It is.
Because this is what happened with Bert Kreischer with this tour. I saw Bert Kreischer. We did his podcast, right? And he was like, dude, he was like, you guys got to do the fucking Fully Loaded tour. And I was like, yeah, dude, obviously, I would love to do the Fully Loaded tour. Like, yes, without a doubt. He's like, cool. So then nothing ever came of it. So then I followed up with him. Like, they were starting to, like, talk about it or whatever. And I followed up. I was like, hey, dude. I was like, you mentioned me doing the Fully Loaded tour. I would love to do it. I didn't hear anything back. And then I was like, cool, Bert Kreischer is fucking dead to me. He's a fucking enemy now for the rest of time. And then I didn't follow up, and I was like, that's that. I was like, fuck it. Then I talked to Jay about it. I was like, yeah, didn't get back to me. I was like, you know, fucking whatever. He's like, dude, follow up. He was like, what are you? He was like, people are busy. It's, yeah. You're not yeah, the center exactly. of you anybody's ever, universe.
And we do it all the time. You know yeah. how people all text, the time. I just miss.
I don't.
And then I see him in person. They're like, oh, I tell you, my dad, I didn't even see that shit.
100%. It happens all the time. Yeah. So the lesson that I learned, and then, of course, I followed up. And he's like, dude, 100%. And then literally an hour later, I was booked a weekend on the tour. Yeah, and that was that. So it's our own ego and our own shit that gets in the way. But that's like.
Yeah, we don't want our feelings hurt. I don't want my feelings
There's
hurt.
Certain guys in the industry who they navigate the industry in a way where that doesn't affect, like, it doesn't affect them at all. It's almost like you have to be a sociopath. Because for me, I'm like, oh, these are just like my friends. Like, I'm just texting, like, it's not even business. Like, I'm just texting a friend. And then, you know, there's certain guys that are fucking like, you know, they just play they can navigate the politics and be friends with everybody. And for me, I
call them dick eaters, bro. We like to call them back home.
But they're successful. They got money. they do what they got to do. It's a hard dude. I've never been good at that. I've never been good at going to an industry party, like rubbing elbows with people, talking to people I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it. I can't fake it.
Yo, that shit starts in like middle school and high school. Like, remember the kid that was just on like the periphery of the cool kids? He wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
But he was like always right next to him or always like in the group with him. He didn't play football, but he was around the football. But it's like those guys end up being fucking successful bosses and shit like that.
Yeah.
They know how to get close to the powerful people and fucking
high,
suck
EQ.
Off of them.
Yeah.
High emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a real thing?
Yeah. People it's all like, like they say about presidents and stuff, all the presidents, they never have super high IQs. Like, they're never like off the charts, like tech IQ guys. They're always like, you know, they're high, but they're not like insane, but they have very high emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Because they can do all that shit, like navigate all that.
Well, that's
like
a superpower in itself, right? Just being able to work with people. And I think I'm pretty good at working with people. I collaborate with a lot of people, but I just can't do it in a phony way. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't climb.
Yeah.
My friends have to get famous and elevate me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm comfortable. Like, we're looking at Skankfest now, and we're looking at, like, all of my friends are the biggest headliners in the country now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back, when we booked Skankfest back in the day, we'd be literally looking for, like, five or six actual headliners, right? To, like, you know,
tell everything. Yeah, one of them was, like, Voss.
And now, like, literally, you have 30 or 40 legit national headliners that are, like, at the top of Skankfest, and sort of everything falls. But I had to wait for my friends to get famous to be comfortable hanging out with any famous people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't go into a situation where if there's somebody that's fucking just famous, it makes me super uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of feel like they expect you to be hype about them or want something from them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to ask you for shit, bro. I like to pretend I don't know famous people. Like, when there's somebody famous around, I'll introduce myself and be like, what's your name? You see what I'm saying? Like, introduce yourself, bro. Remember you said to do that? Remember you had to introduce yourself to people?
You do that. It's called negging when you do it with women. All of a sudden, the fucking, you got a professional hockey player sucking your cock in the bathroom. Like, what happened here? All right, real quick. Obviously, we all watch Shane on SNL. Fucking great job.
Yeah.
It's my job, obviously. My job. It's my perspective to be excited for my friend, and obviously everyone was very, very excited for Shane. And at first, I was like, every time he was on the screen, I was going, dude, he's fucking killing it. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's such a natural. He's not like the characters. He just sort of like, he lent himself to every character. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was like doing like these, like the Trump thing is his own thing, obviously. Yeah. And that Trump sketch, I mean, paled in comparison to what they did with Gillian Keyes. I mean, dude, speed dating Trump was so fucking high level that you were waiting for that one to be as good as that. And you just don't have the writing. They just don't have it. But Shane, every time he was on screen, legitimately fucking brought such a funny energy. And at first I was like, dude, maybe this is just me like writing for my boy because I'm supposed to. But then I think to every other time that my friends do something big or they act, I can't suspend disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
When I have a friend who's in a movie or a friend on a TV show, like usually I'm like, that's not really how they talk.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time watching it and enjoying it. And that wasn't the case for Shane. So
he was 100% himself.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, so that shit was great.
That cold open sketch though was one of the
Wait, what the worst. Fuck was that?
Worst
why'd they even do that?
Of shit I've ever seen in my
crazy.
Life.
Yeah, what the fuck was
it
that?
Was like, you were waiting for Shane to pop out as Trump.
Yeah,
you were
right. Well, but right.
Like, all
right,
he's gonna come in and fucking save the sketch, and they just did a weird.
That was weird as fuck.
It was like, remember when Trump got elected and then they the did chick the played open, the piano? Yeah. I was honestly, that's what I was watching that. I go, oh, they're gonna like fuck him over, huh?
Yeah,
they're like trying to fuck like that's. I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
it was
that
bizarre.
Was weird. I think they did that because they knew they was having Shane on. And they're like, we got to do something super woke in the beginning to kind of fucking even this shit out. And it's like, come on, bro. That shit was just corny. It was nothing there. It was not a joke in it. It was nothing there.
They're like, Trump's bad.
Yeah, that's that was the whole
thing. Someone's like, pitch me a sketch. They're like, Trump's bad.
Yeah.
I think the bit with the cold open is it has to be the most recent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they probably spend all week going, what the fuck's going to happen?
I know
week?
It happened that, yeah, because it happened that they were talking about the South Carolina thing like that day.
But they literally were like, oh shit, nothing really interesting happened this week.
The most interesting thing that was happening in the fucking country was Shane Gillis hosting SNL this
out.
Week. That's it. So, in my opinion, the opportunity to put Shane in a fucking. In a racism sensitivity training class.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have done
the cold open,
the Gemini stuff. Like, they could have done something on that. That was like a pretty topical thing. Like,
I think that they were half in, right? They were like, they knew that they had to do certain things. Like, look, Shane saying retard and gay in the opening is like, you know, unprecedented. Like, they were just like, dude, be yourself.
Yeah.
We're going to let you, like, I think they were just like, look, if he wants to die on that hill, die on that hill. They know that their audience is going to react in a fucking crazy way. But it was as good as it could have been for when you're dealing with a show with those sensibilities.
Yeah, with the handcuffs they put on him.
They put handcuffs on him, and I thought he was great. I thought the Forrest Gump sketch was great.
Yeah.
I thought that
and
was really funny.
And tell them bitches in the back to smile, them fucking orchestra bitches. Tell
that redheaded bitch.
Yeah, like, listen, lady, smile, you on camera.
Dog, y'all make her smile. Pull her up. Yeah. She was hot, dude. She was a hot little redheaded fucking piggy. Little redheaded
her
piggy.
Her and that old guy. Somebody should be like,
I make him smile, too. Doggy, why not? Let's go, old man. Get over here. Both of you. I'm happy.
Let's get freaky.
We're guessing the news. pull up the redheaded chick in the back. She was just stone facing him the whole time.
Yeah.
But also, I think we could be overthinking that.
I mean, maybe.
You know, I don't think it was on purpose.
Somebody on the Matt and Shane subreddit found an article with like an interview with her, and she said that she's seen the monologue so many times by the time they get to air. That's just not funny to her, and she doesn't like.
Yeah, she doesn't need a fake laugh, but you should. Let me explain you something, idiot.
But she's on.
When you go on a podcast, you think we like each other this much? No, we fucking fake laugh a little bit. We giggle, say
come
a little
on.
Giggle.
You see that?
Yes, it's, you know, it's a part of the
chuckle. Sometimes
you got to give a little chuckle.
Yeah,
and if you put yourself in the mood to chuckle, you'll chuckle. She's cute though. Hell yeah, dude.
She looks like your ex. She looks like Karen Margolis.
Yeah, I see that. I guess. Let's see.
And that old man right there, too.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He needs to smile.
Looks like my ex.
Yeah. Yeah, she's cute, dude. Hell yeah. What's her name? Toiter Knight, this bitch. Toiter. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, time for another Toiter Knight, the bitch who stone-faced Shane at SNL.
Toiter or Knight.
Let's see. What do we got? Pull her up.
I've seen her Instagram. It's she's done up well on TV.
Oh, really? She's a plain Jane bitch.
She's normal.
She's a fucking.
No, she's cute.
She's a flautist.
Oh, she looks like a child.
No, she's a guitar player, I think.
She looks like a child.
She's holding an electric guitar.
She's a mousy bitch.
Yeah. The Instagram I saw, the nose had a good dip to it.
They could use her in To Catch a Predator. She'd be good bait.
Yes, she would be. Yeah, no, she looked good in that on there.
Have you watched a full episode of SNL in a long time?
Not
over 30 years.
Okay, because there was one thing it seemed like, because I did watch like the whole thing, there were so many commercials, like way more, and I counted, I think there were only 6 live sketches.
Damn, really?
So, did there used to be way more?
I feel like there was more. There was more content back in the day.
But there was
also really
late. There were three
pre-tapes
or whatever.
I forgot how late it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was like 10. I thought when I found it was 11:30, I was like, God damn, dude, because I'm in bed.
11:35 starts 11:30.
I'm in bed every night before that. Like, there's not, even when I'm on the road, I don't go out after shows. On a Friday night, if my show starts at 9, I'm literally back at the hotel by midnight sleeping.
Yeah.
Never.
Really?
So,
you don't go out after shows?
I'm an old man, doggy. I don't fuck around.
Not unless there's a UFC on.
Yeah, if there's yeah, then even then at this point, I don't even really do it anymore. I mean, I'll go. I like to day drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like my thing, I'll get up in the morning. I'll have a fucking Bloody Mary. Go to the pool for a little bit, then take a nap in the afternoon before the shows, and then go out. I just don't. Yeah, I don't have it in me anymore. I'm an old man.
Damn.
My ideal night is just me and my chick going home watching a movie.
Oh yeah, that's a good night.
That's it.
That's a very.
I'm out every night. I can't fucking do this anymore.
Yeah, I went to the stand on Saturday night, and it was like, I lost all of yesterday because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like people were probably there till 8 a.m.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine doing like fucking blow.
People didn't show up until
anymore.
3 o'clock.
Really, just the party.
It didn't start until like 3:15.
Oh, was it? That was an after party.
Yeah.
It was at the stand.
I was at the stand.
Oh,
it didn't start till 3:15.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah,
3:15. God damn.
Fuck that. No, literally, I just wouldn't do it. I went to one SNL party in my entire life. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
If you got a party, I'm not going. It's got to be like a barbecue, a small get together.
Yeah, that's the best type of shit.
Fifteen people, 20 people. Mm-hmm. That's
they had those for In Living Color.
In Living Color cookout.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick moment and thank YoDelta.com for supporting today's show. We love YoDelta. YoDelta has been supporting this show for a very, very long time. And if you guys like to get super high and you want to do it legally and have YoDelta Delta 8 shipped right to your door, you got to try out their amazing line of vapes and gummies available in almost every single state.
And you guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp that can be legally shipped to various states, and it gets you really high. YoDelta has a great mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. But hey, let me tell you, from personal experience, this Delta 8 stuff, it works, and it works good. So these products should be taken responsibly.
That's right. If you're over 21 years old and living in the majority of states where this is legal, go to YoDelta.com right now and stock up on Delta 8 THC. If you do go there, make sure you use the promo code GAS when you check out. You're going to save 25% off your order today. Once again, that's YoDelta.com, and use the promo code GAS. All right, where were we?
I wanted to say about SNL, that like when you watch like sketch comedy in general, when it has to be current eventy, stinks
for sure.
Go back to any era of SNL that whatever you remember as being the funniest years of SNL,
mid-90s.
Don't cherry pick the best sketches. Watch an episode beginning to end. Two funny things, maybe.
There was a lot of cringe. The thing is, you have that long of a history. It's just very easy to pick out classic.
Like the Farley years. Like, go back and watch those. So, most of the sketches suck dick.
Yeah.
And then one or two funny things happen.
Yo, Goat Boy sucks. Goat Boy wasn't funny.
Yeah, that wasn't funny.
It wasn't Goat funny. Wasn't it was funny. Just like him doing a fucking dumb thing. Like, I understand how you like your friends in middle school.
I mean, I was 10, so I probably did. Yeah. But probably now off, you're like.
I didn't think that shit was funny when I was 10. I used to watch Mad TV at 11, and then at 11:30 I would cut on SNL. And if it was like a guest that I wanted to see, I would watch that. If not, I would go back to Mad TV.
Yeah, back in the day, it would be the musical guest would draw me into SNL. So like, System of a Down played.
Yeah, with Johnny Knoxville as the host.
Yeah, so I watched that, like, and that was because I was so into System of a Down. Like, by the time I got to high school, I was so into music, and music was such a big part of my identity that it's like that would get me to go. But, like, honestly, I was already watching really funny shit.
Yeah.
And I was into dark shit. I wasn't into, like, some Herb ass fucking, like, corny sketch shit, dude. I was into fucking, like, the shit that got me going as a kid was, like, dark. Fucked up comedy. Like, I was really into, like, you know, Def Comedy Jam. But then I was also into like Living Color, which doesn't hold up. Living Color does not hold up. If you're watching Living Color in a while,
that's not good.
It's not good.
No.
None of the sketches hold up.
But a lot of that shit from the 90s doesn't hold. A lot of that shit was corny.
Mr. Show sketches really hold up.
Some of the Chris Rock stuff still holds up from Chris Rock Show. Chappelle's stuff, a lot of Chappelle it still holds up.
Yeah, that shit still holds up.
Chappelle's Show probably had the highest percentage of hits, right? Even though he had some shit that wasn't funny as well.
But I bet if he had stuck around for seasons 3 and 4, we wouldn't say it.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah. It's very easy to
tap that.
Your
flick.
Pilot episode of your, it better be the fucking best.
Yeah.
Your Chappelle, your pilot episode of your sketch show, it better include the 10 best sketches that
you ever thought of.
Yeah, it's like, fucking gotta be wild.
Been rattling around your head for 5 years. Yeah.
Chappelle's show being the best consistent comedy show is the same reason me and you, Lou, think System of a Down is one of the best bands ever.
Yeah. Because
they did their shit and tapped out.
Yes, exactly.
They didn't try and do new shit and stay relevant.
Yeah.
And Living Color, none of it holds up. I will say I did see one, I believe, one in Living Color sketch that fucking got me recently. It showed up on Facebook. And now what it'll be, it's never even like people being like, look at this funny sketch. Usually it's like a black guy being like, yo, look at this racist shit they used to do on TV. It'll be his face will be in the corner. They show you what it is. Right. Like, that was the best. And it was Jim Carrey pretending to be...
Vanilla Ice?
No. It was Jim Carrey pretending to be a...
the aerobics lady?
No. Thank you for trying to speak my language, Zach. I'm just saying things. He was a late night talk show host, and there was a female who was an animal like caretaker,
Jane Goodall or whatever.
So
let's see how this, if the sketch goes the way I would have written it.
it goes exactly how you think it's gonna go. Please try to pull this up, dude. It fucking rules. It's just pure dude.
Same as Jay Leno, right?
But it's also it's racist, but it's not really. It's just fucking really solid. Yeah. Do you have it?
Is it endangered species?
Yes.
I mean, if it's funny, is it racist?
Sitting in for Johnny Carson. Because everyone knows at this point another Carson impression would be totally passé. Ed won't be here tonight either. He woke up with the head of a Clydesdale in his bed. I guess when you're in between marriages, you'll bring home anything. All right. Our next guest is Joan Embry from the San Diego Anthropological Institute. As you know, Joan is always bringing with her strange and exotic inhabitants of the planet. And tonight she's bringing us an endangered species. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Joan Embry.
He's also dressed like Naeem.
Right, yo. I got that same thing. I got that same leg. The bucket hat dog.
Yeah.
He's beautiful.
Yes, he is. This is Calvin. He's a homeboy sapien africanus or B-boy, as they're known in the neighborhood.
Is he able to walk?
Oh, yes, he walks, but you see, these are new sneakers, and they don't like to crease them.
And what is he doing now?
This is what they call chilling, Alan.
Yeah, bruh.
Well, it is kind of cold in the studio today.
Oh, no, not that kind of chilling. He's just relaxing and getting used to his environment.
I see.
Yo, just because you live in lodge with crazy bank and stupid wheels and I'm butt naked don't give you the right to dish. You know what I'm saying?
Tell him.
Well, theirs is a rapidly changing language, Alan. There is new terminology almost daily. But as of last Friday,
this is great.
What he said it's to you best. Was, just because you're rich and he's poor doesn't give you the right to disrespect him.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't say that around him, Alan.
You got it.
Yo, it's great.
Wait, actually, I'll play it again because she's speaking mnemonics to him.
Wouldn't say that around him, Alan. It tends to agitate him. Yo, Calvin, man, cool out. The dude's just bugging.
Yeah, yo.
It's great.
That is great.
It's fucking legit. It's legit really funny. That one holds up. I mean, that's the thing that holds up from those eras is like the shit that like that woke people would go after now. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh shit, that's actually like legit just funny.
When that's also evergreen though. That's not political. That's not like Ross Perot or anybody that would date the sketch.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Even though it's Alan Thicke, like that doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. True. It was just done really well. But yeah, but I've seen other in Living Color where it's just not good.
Yeah.
The Home You Don't Play That does not hold up.
Was it the handyman? Remember, was the disabled fucking handyman is so crazy.
It's crazy, like literally. It's just
and then they made a movie out of it too.
Oh, that's right. They did have a handyman movie. We were just so fucking funny in the 90s. We just ruled. Remember?
Yeah.
The whole character was like he was just doing that impression that we all did. That was like imagine you did a fucking reel like today. Which, by the way, everybody, every voice actor and comedian in the 80s and 90s. There is a self-tape of them doing like their highlights and they have a fucking racist black guy, racist Chinese, retarded person. Literally everybody. I wish we had access to like talent agency shits because there's tapes on fucking every single.
I want to see that shit.
Oh, I guarantee it, dude. That was it, dude. Because there was the easy ones. Indian guy. Everybody was doing like voiceover.
And they didn't want actual Indian guys. Like, no. There were no Indian guys like trying to be voice actors.
Dude, Hank Azaria has been every race.
Yeah, he's been everything.
Yeah.
And I don't have a fucking problem with somebody voicing a different who.
Or acting retarded. No, or acting retarded. Who? Leonardo DiCaprio does a great retard. That's probably the best I've ever seen.
That's the problem is when you do it in a comedic way, then they try to like tear it down. But you can get an Academy Award. Like, Handyman, nobody was trying to give fucking David Alan Greer an Academy Award for being Handyman.
No, but he's like a legit real actor, though. That's the funny thing.
But he nailed it. Pull up Handyman. Yeah. I bet you was...
That was Damon Wayans.
It was Damon Wayans?
Yeah. David Alan Greer was Men on Film, the other guy on Men
But wasn't
on film.
David Alan Greer... I thought David Alan Greer was Handyman.
I don't think so.
Maybe you're right. You're probably right.
I want to say it's... Yeah,
didn't work.
Was he in the movie? Was he a sidekick?
He might have been in the movie. Yeah, he a sidekick? He might have been the straight man in the movie, like his handler.
Pull up Handyman, please. Let's see if
Handyman is fucking.
You know, it's
crazy.
A classic. What's that movie with Damon Wayans?
Blank
and
man.
You know, he's like superhero.
Blank Man.
Blank Man. Yeah, that's a fucking classic. That movie's funny forever.
Anthony Cumia.
I think it was a commercial.
Guys, I don't know what the fuck you just pulled up.
That was a commercial.
I don't know what the fuck you just pulled up. But let's fix that.
Wait, was there a handy? Now that you said Blank Man, I was like, was there a Handyman movie too?
Maybe I don't know. I don't remember a Handyman movie.
David Alan Greer is the sidekick.
Look,
in the
I will say,
sidekick.
Maybe I'm thinking Blank Look, Man. The Handyman was.
They sold a Handyman movie. Maybe it was never made. But that went. Yeah, that was Blank pitched. Man's that was shit. Sold. Some checks were written for a Handyman movie.
Remember when he fell out the window?
He flies out the window and just falls.
Blank Man.
It's Blank Man.
Well, Handyman, forget the movie, but the Handyman was a sketch on
Living Color. Yeah, a sketch.
For sure.
Yeah, and Blank Man wasn't a sketch. That was just a movie.
Yeah, Blank Man was okay.
But I could see how you could think that's Handyman. He had a lot of gadgets and shit.
He had
a plunger as a weapon or some shit like that.
Right.
He had a robot that was made out of bullshit named J5.
You really remember that.
Man. That was my shit, bro.
Do you have a Handyman sketch? You must. Did they erase this completely from the internet?
This I imagine they want to get.
They want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right? What did I watch the other? I watched Robert De Niro rap the N-word.
Oh, hell yeah. Where'd he do that?
He's just rapping a song in a movie.
He's listing the kind of women he likes.
Yeah.
Talking about old SNLs, there's a De Niro SNL where he plays Thomas Jefferson, and at no point do they reference why that's funny, but it's such a fun, winky thing.
That's fucking hilarious.
Do you have any of these things?
Is this SNL?
It's not SNL.
Is this Handyman? Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's him talking about it.
Now, you know what I've always wanted to ask you? In this day and age, everything is so political.
Let's see what he says about it. It's true. All right, pause it. So that's the other side of it as well. Like, look, that's actually a great point because, you know, it relates to Shane and his SNL sketch and his opening, right? Where he's doing jokes about mentally handicapped people. It's like, it's literally inclusive. And I mean this, it's not a fucking backwards and ass backwards excuse. It's inclusive. Mm-hmm. It is. Imagine you were sitting around and they just fuck. And there's that great sketch with Key and Peele where he's making fun of everybody in the comedy
amazing.
Club.
Oh, yeah.
And the burn victim is there. And he's like, what about me? And
he's like, make fun of me.
I can take it. It's such a brilliant sketch, right?
Yeah.
But it's just when you're creating, especially like edgier comedy where you're making fun of others, first of all, the simple rule is you're self-deprecating. You make fun of yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And then you lend you the opportunity to make fun of everybody else. And, you know, most comics, there's no comics that are just making fun. No good comic is making fun of one group of people. There's no right wing guys being like, we're just going to make fun of brown people and people that it's just not the case. No. Right. It's just not funny. It has to be somewhat relatable. So it's extremely inclusive to be making these jokes and incorporating that. And yes, you're making fun of that, but that's what comedy is. And that's what making fun of something is. You're making fun of what's either wrong with it or the deviation, whatever it is.
It's making fun. It's literally making fun. You're looking at a fucked up situation or some weird shit or just an observation and you like, I'm going to make this thing fun. We're going to laugh about this.
Together. In the exact fucking moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that.
Bro, we just got to do it, though. We just got to start making fun of everybody. I already kind of do it.
Yeah. Oh, so do I.
So do you. Yeah.
I did, though, I mean, everybody on Twitter was like, everybody, we could say retard again. And I was like, I didn't.
Who stopped? Yeah.
Retard.
What was that? Like, dude, Twitter was all like a million guys being like, sick, we're so back, we could say retard again. I did not stop.
I don't know. I mean, that's the way that I, and by the way, I've personally had issues. I've had, you know, we've made, I talk about it in my last special, my closing bit where I talk about how I had to apologize to the families of mentally handicapped people that we made fun of on the podcast. It's a real thing that happened. It's an actual legit thing that happened twice where the families reached out to me. They were like viral things, right? Mm-hmm. Not that we went viral, but we didn't have the understanding of the internet. We're just being idiots, right? So we're making fun of the kid who was boxing, his mentally handicapped kid, right? And we're just making fun of a video that went viral. Like, we're just doing the dumb thing, not realizing that this kid would one day see it and his feelings would be hurt. And you're hurting a mentally handicapped kid's feelings. Like, that's not the intention.
Yeah.
The intention is to fucking, and by the way, that kid came out to my shows in England. We hung out with his family, gave them free tickets.
No, that was Michael Bisping.
But we legit, that was
nice.
And I personally called them up and I was like, look, I feel horrible. I was like, I wasn't trying to hurt this kid's feelings. Like, the kid's brother reached out to me and I was like, I wasn't trying to hurt this kid's feelings. I was like, I never thought he would see it. We're idiots and we're not considering the fact that. But I also explained the perspective that it's like, look, we make fun of everybody and, you know, that's just what we do. And whether it's and he loved that as well. Mm-hmm. I had a fucking severely autistic kid in the front row of my show recently, dude. He became like half the show and me fucking with him. And I would have been like, for me to ignore it, I felt like it was so glaring that I'm just ignoring this kid because he's got, you know, issues. And I was like, no, let me just double down. And I fucking tried to get him laid. And it became the whole, like, it was such a great fucking, this was in Poughkeepsie, great fucking show. What's that fucking kid's name? That kid ruled, dude. I want to bring him on the road with me.
But you got to learn how to take a joke. People got to learn how to take a, like, all right, I get it. You made fun of somebody. But sometimes, yo, how about you don't put your kid on the internet like that? How about you don't let that video come? If I had a retarded kid, I'm not posting videos and shit. I know how rough the world is. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
It was. Even with a not retarded kid, it's like I sparingly post.
Yeah.
Because people, they also just try to be funny, you know, and I get it. Yeah. Like, people are just trying to be funny. And it is funny to a certain degree, but my family, they're not getting it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like my girlfriend's family, if I post a picture of me and my girlfriend and people are trying to trash my chick, like, her mom and dad who follow me on social media aren't going like, oh, I get it. Their fan base makes fun of things. Yeah. They're going why would you date this guy? This is all like insane, toxic, crazy fucking energy. But at the same time, like,
and you don't know what's going to even go viral anymore. Like, people just post something and they'll be like, oh, here's a thing of my kid and go 10 million views.
Yep.
Your kid's famous now.
Yeah, that's fucking. We had a video earlier. Somebody had cut up a clip from Durag and the Deer Tag, and they made me a collaborator in it. And it's funny. It's a funny video, but in the video, it's literally Rob and Drew talking about my uncle that just died. What if he was fucking my mom? And it's like, yo, funny clip. But I can't post it because if my mom sees it, she's going to be like, yo, your uncle just died like 3 weeks ago.
They don't get it.
Like,
she just wouldn't
get it.
They don't get
like,
it.
I can't even repost it. Funny-ass video. I can't even fucking repost it.
Did a lot of the roast shows that was like going on, right? So like people would fucking write these. Like you do an interview, right? You do a roast battle against somebody and, you know, like you do an interview. Like, all right, tell me some fucked up things. Like, all right, dude, my sister died. This is how she died. Boom. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was, I think it was Rosebud, right? Her sister died. She drowned in a fucked up way. Mm. Like her hair got caught, like it was like a toddler.
Damn.
Her hair got caught in the motor for the hot tub.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And she drowned, right? Which was really fucked up. But Rosebud's funny, and she's doing this thing, and she's sort of playing by the rules of like, yo, anything goes, let's go. And people would make jokes about it, and she'd be like, you know, she'd have a comeback pre-written. She's like, you're going to drown.
And
her family saw it and was like, yo, what the, like, you're never going to fucking get your family to understand why the laugh is the most important thing there.
Yeah.
you're never, nobody's ever going to get it, right? Yeah. But it's a very specific type of thing, and everybody deals with it. Everybody's got a girlfriend that got mad about some joke. Or
dude, there's this thing right now in Canada, actually, where these guys, they have this like comedy troupe thing or whatever, and they did a roast, some roast battle, and this one guy made this one joke about, because there's this whole thing in Canada, these residential schools where the church would like take native kids, and they would like basically take them from their families to like re-educate them or whatever, and then there was like this whole scandal where there was all these unmarked graves in Canada of all these kids, even though nobody ever found there's no body ever found.
Oh, okay.
Like there was this whole thing, it was like during the George Floyd stuff, and they're like, yeah, we have our problems too. So anyways, this guy made this one joke during a roast, like referencing this like residential school unmarked graves, and then now all their shows all over the country are getting canceled.
The
like because like natives, like basically indigenous people in Canada, are like, this is disgusting. They would make a joke, yeah, and they're like getting them canceled, like all their shows everywhere.
Really?
And that's what happens when an entire group of people doesn't have day jobs. They can show up to protest.
All right, well, you're not playing in Canada anymore either, Zach, so got bad news for you.
Yeah.
Bunch of drunks.
Yeah, dude, fucking
put down the fire water, fucking jerk offs.
I had it out with that chick a little bit who runs that comedy club in Seattle. I won't get into it. I won't get completely into it.
Especially when you were the one that said to leave her alone.
I did specifically say, drama llama. Whoop, drama llama's here. Drama llama ding dong. Uh oh, here we go. Sorry.
Nice.
No, like, whatever. She's fucking, I just saw some of the things she was posting on like Facebook groups, being like, it wasn't exactly her being like, she just played, and I understand, she was playing the political game across the board, but you just sort of see the phoniness across.
Why
the
she
board.
Cancel your shows?
Because we don't represent the brand that they're trying to portray.
They
there,
fucked up and shouldn't have booked them in the first place.
They shouldn't have booked them. Okay. She didn't do her due diligence and research who the fuck she was booking.
Mm-hmm. I had the same thing happen to me on a smaller scale. I was supposed to do this thing, Kibitz Nest in Chicago. Yeah. That's a bookstore. They put me on sale and immediately took it down because somebody sent them videos of me roasting.
Yeah.
And I don't resent them because that's not what they do.
Yeah, it's
so
not their
most
thing.
Of the time, what you do is you don't make a big stink about it because it's their right, number one, right? Number two, it's like, you know, for me, I don't like to constantly come across like I'm banging on the cancel culture drum.
Yeah.
Being like, look, I said something on Friday's show where I said it wasn't an example of cancel culture. I'm going to retract that a little bit. It is an example of cancel culture. My perspective was that she wasn't trying to cancel us. That's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. She wasn't going like, fuck these guys, they don't deserve to work. Her email was fairly respectful. It was political and kind of bullshit, but it was very respectful. She, you know, she was like, she admitted it was her fault and that she fucked up. But it wasn't, I didn't think it was an example of like, oh, we're trying to be canceled. Is it cancel culture at play? Yes, because in my opinion, cancel culture isn't just somebody trying to get you canceled. Cancel culture is every place that won't book me because they're afraid of that, because they might be perceived by the comedians that work there or their business partners as working with problematic people. That is so glaringly an example of what the effects of cancel culture. This is a society we live in. We live in a society where cancel culture is constantly it lives within every... If you work at a Starbucks, you think about being canceled, fired from your job because you might say something. There's things you don't say and do today, even as a person who is not in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, for sure.
That is an example of how cancel culture has sort of, you know, been injected throughout society. Mm-hmm. We're constantly thinking about it. You'll see if you go on TikTok. I don't go on TikTok. But if you go on TikTok, there's just people who be like, cancel them, cancel. Like they use that word like it's just like...
Yeah.
Normal part of the vernacular, like that's just what you would do if somebody says something that you don't like.
Yeah, it's like when black people comment with the clown emoji on everything I post.
Yes. I took it as a compliment for a full year. I was like, I am a clown. Ha ha, you get it. Balloon animals.
Damn. I mean, it is, if the interaction isn't going to stay between just y'all two, it's definitely canceling. So, and she's going to talk to somebody about
it. Why was Florentine kicked off?
So she didn't post it though. She wrote us an email being like, hey, you know, I fucked up. This is a booking that we shouldn't have made. I'm getting pressure from the inside of the club. That's the part where I go, was she really getting pressure or did she just fucking realize she fucked up, right? But regardless, she's playing a political game. I get it. And then she wrote us an email. She wrote our agent an email. And Kurt Metzger went and posted the email publicly. At that point, it's like, no, she was simply unbooking us. That's not like... Now, look, the reality is like... you know, I saw some one girl on Twitter being like, you know, leave these people alone. People are harassing her. You know, they're just trying to run a business. They don't deserve to lose money. I was like, well, hold on. Number one, I agree. Don't fucking gratuitously harass people. Mm-hmm. But if people want to leave a bad review for a business that made a poor business decision, that is the fucking name of the game. You legitimately, that's what it is. That's what, if you make bad business decisions, you got to eat shit. You got to fucking deal with the fact that you made a bad business decision. And that's what happened. Now, look, nobody, she didn't say, hey, you know what? We're going to give you guys your guarantee because you guys... or now can't fill that weekend on 5 weeks.
Yeah, that was a possible
notice.
Date you could have had.
100%. So, yeah. So realistically speaking, what should have been done is she should have said, hey, you guys were guaranteed a certain amount of money versus a door deal. We're not going to sell the tickets. I'm going to pay you guys out your guarantee. Mm-hmm. I actually sent that to her.
You might have a legal case for it.
I'm suing her for a few thousand dollars. I don't give a shit. Yeah. But I did message her. I'll call the dogs off if you publicly apologize. And she was like, seriously? I was like, no, I'm not a moron. I wouldn't make you publicly apologize because I'm not that type of fucking idiot.
But she would probably be the same type of person, though, with that who would think that like, you know, the cake place in Colorado should be forced to make a cake for the gay couple.
Right, exactly.
She would be like, they should have to make
them all,
the cake.
It's all hypocrisy. But at the same time, I do stand by this. It's their right. And I wasn't offended. She wasn't coming after us. She wasn't, like, being shitty. She was being legitimately... somewhat respectful. It's just, you know, a dumb fucking move, like a really stupid move. So, I brought up Love is Blind before, which, I do think 100% a better show is just having blind people. Is there a blind love show?
I was trying to find one and I couldn't find anything about
it.
We
need to do it.
Absolutely.
This is a great show. Make it happen.
What about Love is Deaf? It's just deaf people.
That would be the worst show ever.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Just watch it on mute.
I hate it, man.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that all day.
You hear him fuck the first time?
Ew.
That's her.
That's what French sounds like to me. Anytime somebody speaks French, it sounds like that. It sounds like deaf people talking.
But apparently, one of the contestants on the actual show, Love Is Blind. Love Is Blind, the show, really is...
I saw the girl that he picked.
You date... And you don't get to see each other, right? Yeah. So that's it. It's really you fall in love based off of personality. That's the idea. But at the end of the show, I believe they have to get married. It's not even just they don't just go, you get the rose. Like, they go and get married, which is psychotic.
Yeah, right? That's too much.
You don't really have to do that. Like, you can just say no, right?
Like, legally married or just like a ceremony?
No, I think they actually, or I don't think they could really force you, right?
Yeah, they can't force you to get married.
But then you probably like, oh, well, then we're not putting you in the show.
You're probably foregoing a bunch of money.
True.
The contract probably states you get married, stay married. They need to do a season two. That's, you know, this is fucking business. It is some dark fucking shit. You see The Curse, that TV show?
No.
That was like an angle on the show is like, they were like, yeah, the network really wants you guys to stay together. And like, that just, I was like, cool. They were like, it tracks better if you're together. Like,
right. Whoa, damn.
Fucking crazy shit. But yeah, I mean, my assumption is like, they're incentivized to stay together.
Yeah.
Incentivized to make a TV show.
And if they're trying to be people who want to like maybe be famous, and then you're like, well, you know.
Yeah, which by the way, they all do. They're all on like reality
shows. Yeah, that's why they're doing it. Yeah.
They do. If you look into these people, they all have done multiple reality shows. They're all applying to be on Survivor. They're all applying to be on this. They don't really care. They're looking for fame in whatever channel it is, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's nasty.
It's just great. It's all soulless. Yeah. But apparently one of the contestants apologized to Megan Fox after, I guess, she said that she looked like
it. Did you see this lady?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. Oh. My chick trying to get me to watch it. I'm like, I'm not watching this fucking show.
Yo, bring up this long-haired bitch. Where's she at? Bring up this long-haired lady. This strong-ass face.
Oh, yeah.
Jorge said she looks like a fat edit of actual Megan Fox. Like, she does look like her, but...
I understand what she says.
She looked like Megan Fox off the ooze from Ninja Turtles. Yeah. She got hit
like,
with the
she
ooze.
She looks like Super Shredder.
Yeah, yo. Super Shredder, yeah.
She looks like Megan Fox fucked a mascot for almonds.
She looked like Megan Fox put the mask on from The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Let's see. Can we see more picture of her? Because if she says, is she a big girl?
Yeah, she's strong.
Here's the clip of her saying that she looks like her.
She is. She's tall and strong.
Let's see.
It told you look like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Do you?
I do too.
It's MG. I don't even know if it's MGK's wife or his girlfriend.
Oh, he's like, hell yeah,
Megan Fox.
That's where the decision got me.
Dude, he kind of looks like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, she's the one. You're like, okay, yes, I'm in.
Yep, that's what the decision got me.
I mean, if you're a guy, though, you go, okay, let's...
Yeah, you can't believe
it. Let's knock 2 points off of this just to be safe.
I mean, if she had to name a celebrity, if all right, so production, moving forward, the game we should have played was pull her up, what celebrity does she look like? Mm. And we could have done it with everybody that saw her. We could have done it with 100 people and
Lord Farquaad.
And...
That's pretty accurate, actually.
Damn,
Dougie. If but you bring that, that's still a great little fucking thing. Bring it to the park and get ask fucking 30 people what celebrity she looks like, and be like, yeah, you can say 99% of people agree that she looks most like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
God, the production is just.
I have the clip of her replying.
Good. Let's see.
A great time for the people who have ever told me that I resembled her to come forward. Please. I'm begging you.
Love is blind.
Wait, go back. Keep it going. I want to see it.
Chelsea responds after going viral for comparing herself arms. To Megan Fox.
Look at her chin. Her
chin's got some long arms.
Chelsea's one of the contestants on the Netflix.
She's still hot, though.
Yeah, she is.
She's pretty hot.
She's pretty.
Yeah, like if that guy's like, oh, you don't actually look exactly like Megan Fox, no dice, I don't know, be a lot.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, she's a little thicker than, when you say Megan Fox, I mean, it's just, she should have said this in the moment. She should have been like, people have told me I look like Megan Fox, but like, I'm nowhere near as hot as her, please do not think that.
Yeah, right.
She should have prefaced it.
Yeah.
She should be like, hey, just so you know.
Yeah.
And then he would have been pleasantly fucking surprised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd be like, oh, no, you're actually pretty hot. If she would have said that, I'd be like, oh, she's fucking ugly and she resembles her.
Is there
bit.
Like first time they see each other? Is he like, oh, like, is it wasn't me?
Well, the other girl that like, he could have picked was way hotter than her. The other girl that he picked, so he picked her over this other girl. And the other girl was way hotter than this one.
Wow.
And he fucked up. But she had a baby.
Well,
so
I guess that's.
That other bitch with the baby was fucking smoking.
She was hot.
Yeah, she was like, I got a baby. People have to know that. And I was like, well, that's another side of it is like if some bitch like now that I got a kid, I know what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
That's an uphill battle.
That's a lot.
I've dated a couple chicks that have kids just you know throughout the years, and knowing now it's like doggy. I'm telling you right now, taking care of somebody else's kid, that's a lot. Yeah, unless easy. Like I guess you know what it is like maybe because I'm looking at it from the perspective of I'm a provider and I have to take care of them. I guess it's different because like my son's stepfather, like I actually don't know their scenario, but my assumption is that they split all the bills and they split like, you know, that's just sort of, so I guess it wouldn't be as much of a burden on him. Like he's not feeling like, oh shit, I got to like fucking.
Yeah, right.
But Targi, yeah. I did a chick with a few kids and I was like, yeah, we got to fucking.
Fuse a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of kids.
Did they have a dad? Where was their dad?
I don't know, man. I was just like, we got to put, it ain't happening. I can't take on your clan.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
That's a lot.
And when do you get free time with this lady if you got a bunch of kids running around?
I don't know, dude. I don't know where those kids were, to be honest.
I don't think of it. I never saw them.
Yeah.
I have no idea where those kids went. So, yeah, look, she's fucking, she's pretty.
She's pretty girl.
The problem is she just set herself up for failure.
What does the other one look like?
That's like me saying I look the Rock. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Like, I look about as much like the Rock as she looks like Megan Fox. Let's see.
You see Cam Newton beating up those kids?
Yeah.
We're just tossing. He wasn't beating them up. He was tossing.
What exactly? I did see this video. I didn't exactly know what it was. So Cam Newton's a football player.
Yeah, and he has a camp, a 7-on-7 football camp, where like he invites high school players to come, and they came. And this time he got in a fight with them. But you probably seen so many other videos where he was arguing with these kids. Just
why does he argue with them,
bro? He immature, honestly. That's what I think. This motherfucker, he's arguing with kids about money.
This camp,
yeah, and they'll talk shit to him like, that's why you're not in the NFL anymore, or that's why you lost.
Oh, because everyone's black, so everyone's hilarious.
Yeah, bro, that's what they do. As they do to him. They all are black, and they are talking top level shit.
That's the thing. Like we did
that. That'll get on your nerves.
We were on the regs recently, and we all talked shit to Joe Liss as black people. We did Black Sense, and there was nothing more fun. You become meaner and more quick witted when you put a black set on. It's a crazy thing.
Definitely do.
So these kids are arguing with him.
So in other videos, they argue with him. And he starts talking cash shit to him, like, what? I got $10 million in my checking account. The fuck your mom got? Like, he'll say shit like, they're like, bro, why are you talking money?
Yeah, with kids.
To kids.
High school, like, yeah. Like
you can insult them in any other way.
It's like when you
way.
See people, you see professional comedians respond to people on Twitter and be like, you only have 13 followers. And you're like, they're not supposed to have followers, yeah. Doggy. It's a troll account.
Right. The fuck are you saying?
you're not playing the I have more followers than you game. They're getting you to embarrass yourself and getting you to retweet them and going like, look. You're
coming down to their level.
Oh my God, dude. I see it all happen all the fucking time. Whenever I see a comic, call them out on that, guys. If you ever see a comic being like, nice amount of followers, dickhead, call them out on it. Be like, I'm not supposed to have followers, you loser. Why do you look at the world through that lens? Yeah. And if they look at the world through that lens, more than likely, they don't even have that many followers.
True.
And they are insecure about
true.
It.
True, that's what I'm
call
saying.
These people out.
Yeah,
I love
ooh, or say, like Rappaport.
Or tell them, or you should respond probably. And say, you should respond and say, why are you answering me back? Like if you trolling somebody, the moment they answer, be like, yo, why are you talking to me?
So what I do, I don't even want to say this, but the truth is this: like I don't even mute people, but there's a lot of people that think that I've muted them because I'll never give them anything.
Yeah.
Like literally, I won't give them anything at all. Never respond. Never nothing, and. But I'm not going to even go through the, because I don't actually, my feelings aren't hurt, but I like the fact, it's very interesting when you just literally don't respond,
mm-hmm.
they just move on after a few days.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They assume they're muted.
Mm-hmm.
They go, all right, well, I can't do this. Yeah. I did block somebody on Instagram the other day. And then what I found out is if you block somebody now, I haven't blocked somebody on Instagram in a very long time. If you block them, it blocks all of their accounts. They can't make another account
oh,
and get
shit,
to
really?
You.
Yeah, anything that's like tied to that.
Yeah. So they can't just go and create extra accounts and be like, yeah, fuck you. But yeah, if you talk shit about my kid, if I post something to my kid or my girl, I'm just going to block you. Like, you can't, like, they're not, like we said at the beginning of the show, it's like, they're not playing that game. My family mm-hmm. and my girlfriend's family, they're not playing the game of we're trolling each other on the internet.
Yeah.
They're literally, when I post something about my kid, it's for his family to see what's going on, for my friends to see what's going on. And that's why I rarely do it. Same thing with my chick. It's very rare that I'll post like an image, but it's like if it's Valentine's Day or it's a holiday, we're celebrating an anniversary, you got to do that shit. It makes people feel fucking good, you know?
I don't post my girl anymore because people was like jumping at her DM.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll happen too. There's one guy who's a fan of mine. Doggy, this guy, babe, if you're in the chat, tell me where he's from. This guy straight up. He's like, he's a fan of mine. And he asked me, he was like, yo, when you're here, he's like, just please, like, I'll never tell Lewis, like, let's fuck.
What?
Like, this guy, like, literally interacts with my shit. And I'm all like, dude, but I would never even give him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
I would never even give him the satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's that.
Well, that's a wild.
No, she fucked him.
That's the worst part.
Yo.
That's a good deal.
Damn.
Sacramento. Yeah, thanks, babe. Some motherfucker. If you're in Sacramento, guy, I'm on to you, just so you know.
I love that your girl's in the racist live chat.
She's always in the racist live chat. She's racist.
She's in here posting right now. Who here is from Sacramento?
Yeah, he's the guy from Sacramento who's like straight up in her DMs that's being crazy. Like, yo, just give me, like, whenever you're here, I'll take care of everything. Like,
take care of what?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Like, he's her like, pussy? I'll get the fucking Motel 8. I'll pay for the Howard Johnson Lodge.
Yeah, dude. He's going to know now. He knows. She's like, should I block him? I was like, no, don't even give him the fucking satisfaction. He's like in her like other box.
Mm.
I bet he is.
other box.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had one of your fans was hitting me with a bunch of racist statistics. Yes. And I'm like, come on, bro. I'm like, get the fuck off my page with this shit. And then he was like, all right, but just answer me this. Then I started ignoring him. And then he came back like, yo, Naeem, I met you at Skankfest. Like, I really like you, bro. I'm just joking around. I'm like, all right, bro.
Is it Runaway Slav?
Say something funny.
Is it Runaway Slav?
Probably Slav.
Probably.
It's probably Runaway Slav.
I'm like, don't say, tell me something funny then, bro.
Yeah.
Just hit me with statistics.
Racist statistics. Don't you hate when you hear them sometimes? You're like, really? Is that true?
Well, I've heard of all.
Huh?
Yeah, right. Like, I've heard of all.
Like, what? There's no way that's the average IQ in Africa. Shut up.
One in three, huh?
Yeah.
1 in 3.
Let's see. Runaway Slav in the race live chat says, not me, but everyone is accusing Slav right now of it. But that's, yeah.
It was somebody I met at Skankfest last year. I don't remember his name. And he was cool in person.
All right. Let's see. We'll get one more story here before we get out of here. Let's see. Daddy, I run the Daddy Academy. These are the 5 things men need to do to date their dream woman. I like this. What is this? Okay. Also, Jorge, will you run to the store before the meeting and grab me a sandwich? I'll buy you lunch.
Okay, yeah.
A wrap. Oh, wait, no, I don't have that. That's right. We have Emily here today. I don't need you. I'll still buy you lunch, doggy. You know what? I got you.
Yeah, you can't rescind that. You wouldn't want to be some kind of Jew.
Oh, can I tell you what bothers me about Jorge, though?
What?
He goes and orders me lunch, and then whatever I get, this is some fucking psychotic shit, dude. He just orders two of and then eats whatever I eat and then stares at me while he eats it. It fucks me
what
up.
What the hell?
The staring every time, part's dude. Weird.
Every time, and it fucks me up a little bit. I'm like, dude, just choose your own thing, dog. It's not even, I don't think it's a laziness thing. What I think it is he doesn't care what he's putting into his body.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's the easiest.
That's one less decision. That's literally, yeah, that's the easiest. Ryan is exactly the same, though. Ryan has like anxiety because about like, knowing stuff about food, like yeah. He's very like, he just likes hot dogs cut up on like macaroni and cheese kind of thing. Like, like, so then we go somewhere and he'll just, when we order, I'll like look at the menu and I'll order here, I'll just get the same thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just out of safety. He goes,
the real reason that I do is just in case I mess up on the one that you take, there's a backup.
Oh, there's a backup. Yeah. Wow,
very considerate.
Wow. Holy
look
shit!
Look at that.
I like that. Is that really the reason you do it?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. If they fuck up from now on, I'll go take
it. But how do you know it's what? What if they fucked up one and then you
yeah, what if I...
If they fuck up two, then we have a real case to go back and be like, what happened here, you know, all that.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's nice. He's looking, great planning.
Creating fail safes in life so you don't have to do extra work. Yeah. You know, look, it is, that's not
yo,
bad.
Watch that guy, bro. You know he calculated, dog.
That's
watch
a producer's
watch
mentality. That's not, mean, a bad, that's not a bad way
want,
to think.
That's how you want someone to behave.
If every guest is a producer had that attitude, there'd be a lot less fuck-ups around here. I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that much. So what are these five things that men need to do to date their dream woman?
Okay, so the first one is pursue a passion project that gives you a sense of purpose. So they're pretty much all like how to be a better person, oh, disguised as how to get women. The second one is present.
Well, yeah, women don't want a fucking... I mean, maybe they do. When I was a loser, I got plenty of pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got plenty of pussy. But,
no, but
I
this
did
is
always
about
have...
your dream woman, though. This is how to get your dream woman, not just get plenty of pussy.
That's also true. It's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be passionate about something. People want to fucking see the end. But I've always been passionate about something.
There's also a difference between a loser and a loser with a goal.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Women want status.
Women do want status as well. Mm-hmm. And you can, but women are also simple minded. So they will simply perceive.
Yeah, they're buying low.
Well, yeah. Women will perceive a guy that's outgoing as having status. They'll subconsciously go like, oh, this guy is outgoing and confident because he can protect me and take care of me. He could fight wolves out of our cave. Yeah. He stands up tall. Like that right there is, it's just a, so it strips. So status gives them the same feeling as that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's all that is.
Do guys bring hot girls to open mic sometimes?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I've done that plenty of times. That's
yeah,
crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I've done that plenty of times.
Yeah, so this is it. This is why women will like, if you're funny, it is a subconscious sign of intelligence. They go, this guy is intelligent. He can, if he's intelligent, he can get a good job. He can provide for me and my family. I can have babies and we're going to be protected. This is physiological shit, dude. This is the way the fucking world works, okay? This is why I say gay people and lesbians, it's against God. I say that specifically for that reason, because I know the way the universe works, okay? So, Natalie, what's the next one?
The next one is present the best physical version of yourself.
The best physical version.
Be in shape, dress nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true. But once again, same thing. It is a subconscious realization. It could all be broken down to this. I guarantee every one of these is going to be subconsciously... This woman is going to feel like you can take care of her. Your fingernails are clean. You're wearing nice shoes. You got a nice watch on. You're just put together. It's literally they go, cool. He can provide. Yeah. This is what it is.
They see you dressed like that and they're like, oh, imagine what his house looks like.
Yep.
Imagine what kind of car he drives.
Yep.
Probably takes trips. Yeah. You really start thinking all types of things.
Next one is cultivate your emotional intelligence. That thing we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
EQ.
You could write this same article for cavemen and it just literally says collect the prettiest rocks.
Yeah.
I mean, bitches love pretty
rocks.
Don't
freak out.
Yeah.
You could do that for a woman now and she'd be down.
Collect the prettiest rocks. Yeah. That is true. Dude, I take my fucking, dude, we'll go on vacation, me and my chick. Like, she literally, if I was like, hey, babe, let's go walk on the beach and collect seashells, she'll like, that's how fucking retarded women
are. Yeah, they like those.
Do you know what I need to be stimulated? Do you have any idea?
Seashells.
Not seashells.
Right, they like fucking flowers.
I need a blowjob.
Yeah, right.
In front of the gardener. I can't even fucking get going.
They like flowers, bro. Flowers will do anything.
Go ahead.
Expand your social circle and be authentic.
Be authentic.
That's the top five.
Nice.
Be authentic.
A lot of guys have fucked up real bad being authentic, though. They go, this is who I really am. You go, no, yeah, you don't want to be who you really
are. Not that authentic.
Yeah, not that authentic.
Look, I would say you want your dream woman, spend your fucking 20s becoming a fucking G, so then in your 30s you can afford to do cool shit, whatever that might mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you got to be a millionaire, but it means like, yo, bitches want, they want to be able to do cool shit.
Yeah.
They want to be able to be stimulated. They don't want life mm-hmm. to just be a fucking struggle. And if you could show her that life isn't a struggle, and that, like, because my whole life was a struggle. Like, every day was a fucking struggle up until a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then now I've moved the fucking goalpost. So now it's becoming a struggle again. Because yeah. I'm going like, fuck, dude, you pay more in bills. Mm-hmm. You want more. You want nicer things. You want to do, you know, nicer vacations. You want to expand. It's never good enough.
Yeah. No.
And if you want to be fucking great, you'll never be satisfied. Mm-hmm. And that is the truth, right? Yeah. Nobody will ever be satisfied. Bobby Kelly said this to me about Louis a long time ago. It was just a great like moment where he was like, because I was like, damn, dude, fucking, it just never feels like I'm getting enough. He was like, it's never going to be that. He was like, Louis just won an Academy Award for Louis before Louis was canceled. Mm-hmm. He was like, he just won an Academy Award. He was like, now that's his standard. Not only does he have to sell out theaters all over the world, not only does he have to make great TV shows and movies, but now he has to be considered the best yeah. by everybody in order for him to get up in the morning and feel like he's fucking doing something.
Yeah.
Once you damn. Remove the money.
You know how good a TV show has to be to win an Academy Award?
Yeah. You know what I fucking mean. I fuck this. But the amount, it's not even about money. At one point, these guys get so much money because for us right now, it's just about money, fans.
Yeah.
You know, just like, it's very easy. Like, I get to go, like, oh, it's my bank account. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see growing. Mm-hmm. I want to see my fan base growing, my road numbers growing. These are easy metrics. Mm-hmm. Once the money's out of it, then it's like the metrics of just personal fucking greatness,
that's being
the
nuts.
Being the best.
Yeah,
I mean, that's fucking bonkers, dude.
That's scary.
That's a level that, like, you know,
it's hard to motivate yourself at certain points when yeah. you get out
how do you
there.
How do you measure that?
So, yeah, especially yeah. when you're like, okay, I don't need any money.
Yeah,
like, I don't.
I mean, I wish. What a great problem to have.
Yeah. Damn.
All right, we're gonna wrap this one. This has been fucking dope, man. You guys are dope. I love you guys.
Thanks, Louis. This is great.
Of course, man. You guys are awesome. I'll check you guys. We'll be back on Wednesday with another incredible episode of your favorite podcast. The Real Ass Podcast. Until then, good night.
That's all, folks.